Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopijana Bala Bhagirvana Dari. Jaya Gopijana Bala Bhagirvana Dari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya. Jaya Gopijana Bala Bhagirvana Dari. Jaya. Jaya Gopijana Bala Bhagirvana Dari. Jaya. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya.
Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parabhajakacharya Astatarasata Sri Simad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Kastaya Bhutalesha Nata Bhakta Vedanta Swami Nityam Hamaya. Are we doing the Bhagavatam? Okay. No, it's fine. We'll do the verse. Okay. Where is it? Oh, okay. 36, 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. We're on Canto 10, Chapter 12, and it will be text 36 and 37. Is the verse available for everyone to see or no?
Yeah, no? It's coming up. It'll be on the screen.
It'll come up. Okay.
What verse
did you say? It's 36 and 37. 37 has the purport. So we'll chant. We'll chant 36 and then 37 together, I guess. So it's Rajan Ajagaram Charma Shushkam Vrindavane Duktam Brajo Kasham Bahu Titam Babu Vakrida Gavaram. And the translation is, O King Pariket, when the python-shaped body of Agasura dried up into merely a skin, it became a wonderful place for the inhabitants of Vrindavan to visit, and it remained so for a long, long time. Okay, text 37. Etat Kumarajam Kumarajam Karma Hadir Atmahi Mokshanam Mityo Palgandake Bala Dvistvachur Vismita Mraje Etat Kumar Marajam Karma Hare Atmahi Mokshanam Mityo Palgandake Bala Dristo Dristvochur Vishmita Vraje Etat Kamar Marajam Karma Harir Atmahi Mokshanam Mityo Pagandake Bala Dristvochur Vishmita Vraje. Etat kumarajam karma Harir atma hi mokshanam Etat kamarajam karma Harir atmahi mokshanam Mityo pagandake bala Jisvachur vishmita braje Etat kamarajam karma Harir atmahi mokshanam Ladies. Etat kumarajam karma Harir atmahi mokshanam Mityo pagandake bala Vispachur vishmata braje. The children chant? Etat kumar rajam karma. Hadir atmahi mokshanam. Jisvachur vishmatabrajai. Etat. This incident of delivering both Agasura and Krishna's associates from death. Komarajam karma. Performed during their Kumara age, the age of 5 years. Hare. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atma. The devotees are the Lord's heart and soul. Ahi Mokshanam. Their deliverance and the deliverance of the python. Mrityo. From the path of repeated birth and death. Paugandake, at the age of Pauganda, beginning with the 6th year, 1 year later. Bala, all the boys. Drispauchu, disclose the fact after 1 year. Vishmitaha, as if it happened on that very day. Brajaye, in Vrindavan. Translation. This incident of Krishna's saving himself and his associates from death, of giving deliverance to Aghasura, who had assumed the form of a python, took place when Krishna was 5 years old. It was disclosed in Brajabhumi after 1 year, as if it had taken place on that very day. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The word mokshanam means liberation. For the associates of Krishna and for Krishna himself, there is no question about liberation. They are already liberated, being in the spiritual world. In the material world, there are birth, death, old age, and disease. But in the spiritual world, there are no such things because everything is eternal. As for the python, however, by the association of Krishna and his devotees, Aghasura also achieved the same facility of eternal life. Therefore, as indicated here by the word atmahi mokshanam, if the python, Aghasura, could receive eternal association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is to be said of those who are already associates of the Lord? Shakam Vijar Ruhu Krita Punya Punjaha. It's from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 12th chapter, verse 11. Here is proof that God is good for everyone. Even when he kills someone, the one who is killed attains liberation. What then is to be said of those who are already in the association of the Lord?
Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swaya Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapatandikam Panchakopa Trubhascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So I'm very happy to be here this morning, especially reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, translated by Srila Prabhupada. There's so many things here. to speak about. But the verse is very nice. Of course, it mentions here Krishna, when he performed this wonderful activity, he was 5 years old. Are any of the boys here 5 years old? No? No one? You're 5 years old? Any of the girls 5 years old? Do we have a five-year-old? Six-year-old? You want to stand up? Let me see your six-year-old boy or six-year-old boy. Okay. 6 years old. So Krishna was 5 years old when he killed Agasura, this big python. And they all walked into Agasura's mouth. So he's that tall, so at least Agasura's mouth was, it was big. Prabhupada actually made this movement one time. It wasn't about the Agasura demon. It was about another kind of demon in the modern civilization. And he was talking at that time to a three-year-old girl. And that girl was, she's a very famous girl within our society. Her name is Saraswati. And she was one of the first children there in the society, the daughter of Malati and Syamasundar Prabhu. And she was a very fortunate girl, huh? Just like we see here, Krishna with all his cowherd boys. I like the translation of that one word here. What's it say? Verse 97. All the boys. Prabhupada translated, Balaha, all the boys. And Krishna had all his boys with him when he was in Vrindavan, in the forest. The cowherd boys. Krishna's friends are all cowherd boys. I was thinking I was going to be doing this verse today, and I was saying, what to talk about? You know, so many things to talk about. And then I was thinking of this term, cowherd boy, and how for me it's become just one of these words you just put out there. You know, the cowherd boys, Krishna's a cowherd boy. And like we say so many things, our ISKCON, we say our ISKCONisms, you know, our Prashadam and Subji and Prabhu and Mataji. We just put these words out there with really considering the meaning of the words. So I was thinking that Krishna, he's a cowherd boy. For the last year and a half, my wife and I, we've been living in Govardhan. Where better place can you think about Krishna and cowherd boys? This is Krishna, Giriraj, Govardhan. He's a cowherd boy. And when you're in Govardhan, particularly this season, the rainy season, you know, from when it really starts raining in India, in Vrindavan, in Govardhan. It's the most wonderful place. And you actually get to see Govardhan as you would imagine it when you're reading from 10th Canto, from Krishna book, what it's like in Govardhan. Because most of the year, very, very dry. And even now, rainy season, which is traditionally July, August, and then all the devotees come in October. So in that 1 month from September, everything's already dried up. It's so hot. The sun is so strong. So even in July, August, it becomes very green, Govardhan. It's like he puts on his rainy season dress. It's a green dress. And all of Govardhan is green, and very beautiful. And all the animals become very happy. The cows, you see them for, you know, these 2 months, they're just grazing in the fields. And when you get your milk delivery from the local cowherd boy, now they ride on little scooters, you know, the cowherd, and he comes up every day, and you know, you get a liter of milk for 28 rupees. It's like 50 cents for a liter of fresh Govardhan cow's milk, with the cream on the top. And in this season, it becomes very creamy because it's rainy season, and they're eating fresh grasses, and you can just, everyone becomes happy. Govardhan during this time. And the peacocks, you hear them, you know, morning and evening. There's a special life that's there in Govardhan at this time. And then you see the Cowherd Boys. Cowherd Boys are very special people. And that's what they do. They just stand around and they protect the cows and the calves. And they're at Govardhan and they watch them. And very often you'll see them, they have their stick for herding. And that also becomes their leaning post. So you just, when you're there in Govardhan, it's just all these images from Krishna book, from this 10th canto, they just fill your mind. You know, what Prabhupada's given us, it just fills you up with Krishna. And they'll be leaning like this, and sitting under a tree. And the cows are very sweet, you know. There's So, anyway, this is Govardhan. These are cowherd boys. This is their only activity, is to go out every day. And we were telling that last night, was it, Vid, about... Prabhupada was talking. One of the very first things I heard Prabhupada say was in 1972, and it was... I had been living in a temple now since April, so it was 1 year. And it's the first time that I really had Prabhupada's personal association. It was before I was his servant. And it was in Los Angeles. So I had gone there to get Brahmin initiation. Kirti Raj also went there at that time. We were both initiated first and second together, even though we were never together in a temple. And by some good fortune, I was Kirtanananda's kind of a servant, assistant. So we all traveled there from New Vrindavan in the van, 5 days, you know, in a cargo van to get from New Vrindavan to Los Angeles. And we were all just very excited. No one felt any discomfort, you know, no discomfort being in the back of a van for 5 days because we were seeing Srila Prabhupada. And as soon as I got there, every day, for those that have been to New Dwarka, a very wonderful place, and Prabhupada's garden there, which is not so big, but nice, with nice fence around. And it was, Prabhupada said it was Vrindavan. And it was his favorite place in the world, he said, was this garden in Los Angeles. And every afternoon he would go in there, and he would sit. He had a little... just like this, he was sitting in a chair, asana like this, and there was a little trellis over him, and nice bushes all around, flowers, some banana trees, some tulsi plants. And only five, six devotees would get to sit with him. And it would be just before sunset. So the day I got there, another devotee had left, and Kurandar, the GBC, when we went in, he handed me Krishna book, which was the 10th canto. And it was volume 1. And he said, you can read. Of course, I said, yes. He said, so when Prabhupada asks, you read Krishna book to him. And for a week, this is what I did every day. It was my first service to Prabhupada, was reading Krishna book to him. And again, there were other devotees, but just a small group of very fortunate people sitting in there. And Prabhupada would just come in and sit down. And we were all very young. I was 21 years old. So you would just sit. And these were my first days with him. So I was very nervous to be in Srila Prabhupada's presence. But he had a way of very quickly dispelling this anxiety because he was just so wonderful. But he would sit there, and sometimes he would chant, and sometimes he would just talk. And Krishna book, you know, 1972, it had just been, when I came in 1971, it had just come out. So everybody was talking. I mean, this was the process. In the very beginning, Prabhupada gave us Krishna to become attracted to this young cowherd boy, this very wonderful, sweet person, by giving us all of his pastimes, so we could focus. Who is this Krishna? We didn't know anything about Krishna. I didn't know anything when I came. Huh? I had heard he was Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what I wanted. So then the devotees are telling all these stories from Krishna book, and so many things just like this, Agasura. And finally sitting there, and one day Prabhupada, he sat up, you know, we just followed every move he made. So he sat up and he said, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, like that. And we're just looking, you know. And he pushed his chest out and he said, we are servants of Krishna. He said, that's our pride. He said, we're serving Krishna. He said, everyone is serving, you know, in any way. And he said, you're serving your boss, you're serving your family, husband serving the wife, wife serving. But we're servants of Krishna. He pushed his chest out. He said, that's our pride. He said, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Then he looked at us. We were all new. It was 1 year, 6 months, 3 years. We're all very new devotees. And he said, we love Krishna. He said, he may be God or he may not be God. He said, we don't care. We just love Krishna. Huh? This little five-year-old boy. So I'm sitting there. I just found out he was God. And I'm thinking, now Prabhupada's saying, maybe he's not God. You know, but we still love him. But this is real love. We don't love him because he's God. We just love him because he's just this wonderful, amazing, incredible personality. He's God. That's okay. But he said, he may or may not be God. He said, but we love him. And this was, of course, the mood of the gopas and the gopis. They didn't know Krishna was God. And when everyone was in anxiety, here he is walking into this big mouth, this Agasura demon. But they knew somehow or other Krishna would protect them. So then Prabhupada looked, and I'm sitting right in front of him, and I'm holding this book just like, you know, in anticipation. So then he said, go on, you know. So I started reading. And the first story I read was a story about a demon. And Prabhupada just, at different points, Prabhupada laughed and laughed. I mean, here he is, his Krishna book, you know, reading from this 10th canto. And Prabhupada just enjoyed it so much, and he would laugh and laugh. And when we saw Prabhupada laugh, then we would laugh. We weren't, you know, we were hearing. I guess it's the process to hear. So the chanting and hearing was going on. But we didn't pick up that mood like Srila Prabhupada had when he heard. And he would laugh and laugh, and I'm reading. And so this was my first experience with Prabhupada. This person is very far out, you know. I'm in the right place right here, seeing, and that's what I wanted to see. You know, I wanted to be happy. And Prabhupada was this very happy person, very funny. And the one time he stopped and he said, I like the cowherd boys very much. Yeah. So that's these people, these cowherd boys. So that's all they do. They're not driving into town to go to work, you know, they're not studying to become IT engineers. They just herd cows, you know, and they run around and play. And Prabhupada said, we'll go into the story. I was talking about this with my godbrothers last night, and in Atlanta, it was a very famous time when Prabhupada went into ecstasy in front of so many hundreds of devotees. His lecture, he had to stop speaking. Tears were coming out of his eyes. He's talking about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And so that whole day went by. 12 hours later, Prabhupada's sitting in bed. And I'm giving him massage in his bed. Huh? We'd massage Prabhupada's legs and his lotus feet, his soft lotus feet. And he's lying back and he was looking on the opposite wall, there's a painting that big, just like one of these paintings. But it's Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boys in the forest of Vrindavan. And it's the picture, the painting was lots of cows. You see, like, you know, this infinite amount of cows and calves, you know, in the background, and so many cowherd boys. So as I'm massaging, now this was 3 years later, from 1972. And I'm massaging Prabhupada. And he just looked, he's looking. And then very softly he said, "I like the cowherd boys very much." And when he started talking during evening massage, that was a very wonderful time, a very special time. So I immediately, my antennas went up, because to hear Prabhupada speak in the evening was just the sweetest, most sweet part of the day you could have. And then he's looking, and he said, every day, he said, Krishna Balaram and the cowherd boys, they're also cowherd boys, those and the rest of the cowherd boys, he said, every day they go into Vrindavan, into the forest. He said, and they're young boys, like this age. He said, and they didn't herd cows. He said, they herded calves, because the cows would have been bigger than they are. Cows are very big, very heavy. But the calves, there are also so many unlimited amounts of calves, thousands and thousands of young calves. So he said, they herd the calves. He said, and before they go in, their mothers, the Matajis, they make tiffins. And he said, Krishna's mother Yasoda, she would make very nice tiffin, opulent. Prabhupada said opulent prasadam meant ghee and sugar. That's opulent. He said, so Mother Yasoda, she would make a tiffin, and in the tiffin would be, halava, puri, kachuri, luglu, like that. And the other cowherd boys, they also had tiffins, but their tiffins weren't quite so opulent. So there would be rice, dal, chapatis, like that, because they're simple people, he said. So this is all going on during the massage, and Prabhupada, he's just in his meditation on this painting. And then he said, when lunchtime would come, he said, of course, there are boys, young boys, so they'd play. And then they would play keep away with Krishna. So they would take his tiffin, because they knew what was in his tiffin, because they're doing this every day, so they're used to this. So they knew Krishna had a really nice tiffin filled with opulent prasadam. So then they would just, pass it around, and Krishna, he said, would try to get it. And Prabhupada's saying all this as I'm massaging. And then he said, finally, he said, they would just keep Krishna's tiffin. And they would give Krishna, he would get one of their tiffins, with the rice, dal, like that, chapatis. And he would take that. He said, and the cowherd boys, they would open up Krishna's tiffin, and they would take from Krishna's tiffin the kachuri and luglu, he said. And then he stopped for a little time, and then he said, I just want to go back to the spiritual world and eat kachuri and luglu with Krishna. So this is the personality who has given us Krishna, this cowherd boy and all his friends. There he was, in Atlanta, traveling around the world. 2 months he traveled around the world in this trip. He stopped at over a dozen temples during that time, 2 month time, to give everybody Krishna, to give us the opportunity to go. This is what he said. This is what we want to do. We want to go back to the spiritual world, eat kachuris with Krishna. That opportunity is there by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And from the very beginning, this is what I saw Prabhupada gave us. In the very beginning, he gave Krishna book. He went right to the 10th canto, translated 10th canto for us, so we could understand what it was that we were working towards, this process of devotional service, what it was he was giving to everyone, traveling around the world 14 times in 10 years. To see everyone become Krishna conscious. So from the beginning, Prabhupada was sitting there in this garden hearing Krishna book. And I fell in love with seeing Prabhupada laugh and smile and hear about Krishna. Everything he was doing has so much work, so much activity, training so many disciples, initiating so many, training leaders, opening temples. But when everything was finished, he just wanted to sit down and hear about Krishna. And Krishna book was just put out a year before. It was his Krishna book. It wasn't somebody else's. This was what Prabhupada gave. But he would sit with us, and you would never think that he authored this book, huh? Because he would say, I'm not the author. Krishna's the author, huh? Just giving it. And he would sit there and listen, but not like we listened. He listened better than we listened, because activities were going on as he was hearing. So I knew how much Prabhupada liked that story, and especially he seemed very happy when Krishna was killing a demon, and Prabhupada laughed and laughed. So I thought, next day I'll read another story about Krishna killing a demon, because I wanted to see Prabhupada laugh again. That's all I wanted to do. That was the whole time I was his servant, that was my goal, was if I could do something and Prabhupada would laugh, then I was very happy. You know? And sometimes that situation would arise, and sometimes I would put myself out there so he could laugh at me. Sometimes I would comment about my godbrothers, he would laugh at them. Prabhupada was very, he was very good like that. He liked a joke. Prabhupada liked a good joke. So the next day, I was all set with my story. I looked it up. I used to read Krishna book every day after coming to the temple. So I picked what was one of my favorite stories, and I just knew Prabhupada. I just assumed he would laugh when I started telling this story and when I read this certain line. I just assumed it. So we came in, and I'm holding the book, you know, and I got like this. And you never did anything, and you never stopped anything until Prabhupada gave you the nod. You know, like during massage, you massage his back for over an hour sometimes, as hard as you could, and then he'd go. And that's the only time you could stop doing it. There was no, you know, you had no freedom of your own just to think, well, I've done that long enough, I'll move to the next spot. You know, when you massage, you know, you have a program. There was no program. It was Prabhupada, that was the program. What he wanted, you did. You just surrendered to that. So I'm sitting holding this book and my heart's pounding because I can't wait to read this story. I wanted to see Prabhupada laugh. And I don't know why I thought he would, but I just did. So finally, he gave the look, you know, like that. Prabhupada didn't say, okay, now you can read me a story. He'd just look at you, and you just knew what the look meant. You know, he had different looks. So he just looked, and I opened it up, and I started reading the story of David Gorilla, one of my favorite stories when I first came to the temple, because he was, you know, he was a total rascal, you know. And when you're in Govardhan, you live in Vrindavan, you get to see all the rascals all the time, in smaller version, these monkeys, you know, they just create chaos all the time, you know, just to do it. You know, they really do. They're just mischievous. They just make mischief because they can. And they don't need a reason to be like that, you know. They'll always, you know, you have to protect everything. Your little bags of fruit, they'll break open your bag of fruit and take your fruit. They'll knock your glasses off. You know, they'll steal your bead bag, chew on your shoes. They're just nonsense. Prabhupada said, rascals, rascal monkeys, Prabhupada said. So he was especially rascal. He was a demon. He was more than a rascal. He was a demon. So I started reading this story. And Prabhupada's listening. The other devotees are listening. And then I came up to the point talking about him. He came in and he's behind the bushes and he's watching this Brahmins perform the yajna, a fire sacrifice. And he pounces out and he starts passing urine on the fire. So I thought that was hilarious. Yeah, these are your typical kind of boy, young boy jokes, right? You know, stool and urine and all these stuff. Anyway, I thought that was really, really funny. And just approaching that sentence, I was like could barely get the words out of my mouth. I was just so eager. And then I said it, and I said, and he passed urine. And when I said it, Prabhupada just went into complete, just laughing madness, and starts laughing and laughing and laughing, and he's slapping his leg, and he's laughing, and tears are shooting out of his eyes. And then, of course, we're all laughing. I mean, we're hysterical. And I had so much energy, like, pent up in me, that I just exploded in laughter. And we just laughed for over a minute. There was just laughing. And then I started reading again and went on. And Prabhupada did it. He laughed right at the exact spot, you know, where I thought he would. But he laughed even more than I could imagine. And Prabhupada just fulfilled all my desires and laughed. But he enjoyed so much hearing about this Krishna person, this cowherd boy, this wonderful person who maybe he's God. I don't know. Maybe he's not God. Maybe he's God. Prabhupada said only a few people knew he was God when he was here. Just a couple. Everyone else just thought he was very far out. Maybe demigod kind of person, beautiful person that could do amazing things, save us from everything. This is what he does, save us. Krishna is always saving us. We can understand. And I sat down and he just looked at me. And he said, we are not so advanced. He said that we're thinking, I want to come back life after life to perform service. He said, we should want to go back to Godhead. He said, we should have that desire to go back to Godhead. He said, we're not so advanced. So he used that word, these different pronouns. Sometimes he would say we. Sometimes he would say we, it meant me, when he was speaking. You know, sometimes he would say we have, you know, started this international society, which meant he did it. But he would say we in a humble way. He didn't do anything. And other times when he said we, it meant you, you know. So like, we're not so advanced, he said, which he's saying to me, you should want to go back to Godhead. So I took that very seriously, you know, so. And I think like that, I always think like that now. And I, you know, sometimes I'll say the others, I'll hear God brothers, God sisters say, you know, I want to come back, serve Srila Prabhupada, spread this mission, and I think, I just want to get out of here, you know. I don't know what there's going to be to spread it to in the future. I'm afraid of this place. You know, I want to go back home someday, some lifetime. I want to go back home, eat kachuri, and Luglu with Krishna, you know, with Prabhupada. I want to give him kachuris, you know. But this was Prabhupada. This is, to be able to read this every day, who would have thought we'd even ever get to the 10th canto, in Srimad Bhagavatam class, reading from Srila Prabhupada's 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's very wonderful. Prabhupada's very kind. So, any questions? Comments about Prabhupada, Agasura, demons, cowherd boys, Ruchi.
Right, well, thank you very much, Prabhu. when you were talking about monkeys, it reminded me I had the good fortune to spend a little time with Mother Yamuna, and she told a story about how this one monkey used to come to the window of, I'm not sure where it was, but he would come to the window and he was making a fuss out there. And she said that Srila Prabhupada went up to the monkey and was speaking with the monkey, you know, telling it I don't know what he said to it.
But it was at Radha Damodar Temple when they were there back in 1970. And this monkey would come and like demand prasadam, you know, and it was above Prabhupada's rooms on the second floor. So he would come and he would just pull, you know, with the bars and stuff and just bang and bang and bang until she gave him some prasadam.
And then what she said is, she said Prabhupada would, you know, was talking to this monkey.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that point, she said that monkey never came back. She just said, well, yeah, Prabhupada must have known the language of the monkey or something. He told her to go away.
Yeah. She watched from a distance, and she saw Prabhupada talking to the monkey. And afterwards he never came back. And she asked him, you know. And Prabhupada said, I told him, stop bothering, you know, to stop bothering you, to leave you alone. And he never came back again. So Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada knew monkey talk. He knew bird talk too, you know. He would say, you know, and he'd say the birds in the morning, he'd say they're saying, you know, they would all tell one another where they were going to go to get food. Like that was, you know, the conversations. Not that they're just, you know, peep, 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 chirp, 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 chirp. But there's, you know, they're communicating and they're saying, like, you know, I think, you know, we can go here, it'll be something here, something there. Then he said in the evening they come back and they tell each other, you know, where they found food. So then the next day they can start all over again. So everything is going on with all the different species. There's some, you know, yeah, Prabhupada had different experiences with monkeys. He was saying that, how he chastised them. I shouldn't bother her, Prabhupada said. Don't bother this nice devotee. Yeah. Yes.
I also heard one time in the early days, Srila Prabhupada was talking. So there's one young girl, she asked Prabhupada, said, Prabhupada, are you a cowboy? But the others, the way she presented it, they were thinking of maybe the Western cowboys, the Texas, stuff like that. So they were all looking at her with a kind of a strange looks. Then Prabhupada understood. He said, yes, I was a cowherd boy. Just confirmed.
Right. He liked them very much, cowherd boys. Krishna's a coward boy. Hmm? Anything else? Yes. Hare Krishna. This is Mataji.
Do I have to repeat these questions?
Okay.
In the memories book, I believe it's a Uttama Shloka memory that they were walking, having a morning walk in the city with Prabhupada. And so at one point, Prabhupada stopped, looked up, and the birds were all chirping and singing. And Prabhupada said, ah, they are chanting Hare Krishna.
Wondering about some pastime in Los Angeles. I think it was spring or summer 74. I don't know if you were there. We heard something that Srila Prabhupada was walking around the temple like that, and some cat came up to him, and he pushed the cat with his foot, and cat went over to the gutter and gave up his life like that.
Do you know that one, Vid?
No.
Vidyananda, you know that one? Were you there then?
I wasn't there.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't there for that one. I was in Caracas at that time. That was my intermission, 8-month intermission I had being personal servant. But I was in Los Angeles with another cat story.
Yeah.
One of my for favorite times with Prabhupada when I was giving him massage in that garden. So the garden was surrounded by a 6-foot-high wooden fence, and it was right down to the bottom. But in the gate, there was just a little crack at the bottom of the gate. So I was, Prabhupada would sit in the morning sun with his back to the sun in his gumsha, and I put the straw mat down, and I'd sit behind him in my gumsha, and I was rubbing his back with mustard oil and massaging. So a little kitten, like this big, you know, just fit in your hand, had come in under the gate, hopping along the grass, and, you know, it was no higher than the grass. So I was like, and it comes right up to Prabhupada, right to the back of Prabhupada, and starts rubbing, you know, like cats do, you know, and it went back and forth along his back. And I'm still massaging Prabhupada, you know, and Prabhupada just sitting. And then it starts licking Prabhupada's back with his little sandpaper tongue, you know. And Prabhupada just sitting, and I'm rubbing, and the cat's, you know. And then Prabhupada said, okay, that's enough. You had your fun, you know. So I picked up the cat, and I went over to the fence, and I just dropped them on the other side, because cats fall on their feet, we know that. And then I went back and start massaging Prabhupada again. So 2 minutes later, right back under the gate, ran to Prabhupada, to the back of him, starts going back and forth and back and forth. So I picked him up again, took him and, you know, plopped him down on the other side, sit back down, I'm massaging Prabhupada's back. He comes flying back around the next time. He just couldn't get enough of Prabhupada, you know. So he comes back and he's rubbing and he would lick, you know, Prabhupada. So I picked him up and I went to the fence. Now I'm like dropping him each time was a little harder, you know. I was like, stop bugging me, you know, and I plopped him down. And then I went to the gate. He was coming in the gate. That was the only spot. So right by the gate, there were some in the garden. There were like some bricks or stones or blocks or something. So I put them at the bottom so he couldn't get in anymore. Then I went back and started massaging Prabhupada, you know. And I'm rubbing and rubbing. And a couple minutes go by and then I hear, meow. And he just sat there for like 10 minutes just crying that he couldn't get back to Prabhupada. Maybe it was the same cat, I don't know. Could have been the same. This was in 73. Might have been the older version of him. But he just loved Prabhupada, you know. And Prabhupada gave him some mercy and then he said, okay. And that was my kitten. Yes, Poo-Poo.
I notice you. You recall pastimes like 40 years ago with such clarity. Mm. How you've managed to do this? I mean, it's amazing. You know. Yeah.
Well, one way is over the last 10 years, I've been traveling to different temples and saying them more and more. And of course, I, you know, many of these are in the book, but even in the book I wrote, I see that I wrote in such a condensed fashion from how I saw it, you know. But just some things, you know, some things stuck out. Satsarup Maharaj, back in 78, I sat with him for 3 days, and we talked, and I, you know, everything I could remember at that time. I never recorded anything, didn't have a diary. But all the things that were significant that I remembered, I told him at that time. And then he mailed me all the transcriptions, you know, some of his, those that were working with him. They sent me a stack. I had like transcriptions, a stick from those meetings. And then after he sent them to me, then that was they had that big fire in Gita Nagari. And everything, all the devotees, the collections of all those stories and all got burned away. But anyway, I was fortunate that he mailed them to me because there were so many, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it was, you know,
And then they just sat in a closet from 78 for almost 20 years before I even looked at them. But then I looked at them and went on in that way. So it's just, you know, Prabhupada's, you know, he's there. He's a real transcendental personality. So just by the devotees' enthusiasm and association, these things are very sweet. It's like Krishna book. These took place. You know, 5,000 years ago, they took place, these activities, right there in Vrindavan and Govardhan and all these different places, all these pastimes. So it's like that. They're there. We can keep them fresh. When Prabhupada heard these stories about Krishna, he was responding in that same way. We hear about Srila Prabhupada. You know, we saw Prabhupada. You know, we were with Prabhupada. Sometimes we talked with Prabhupada, you know, served Prabhupada. So it's very real for us. It's very easy. So think, that's how easy it is when we have that complete faith, understanding Krishna is there. Then they're not just stories. It's reality. It's going on. That's what the spiritual master does, you know. He's that medium. He teaches you, you know, through our love to him, he teaches us how to love Krishna. He shows us the way. Hare Krishna.
Well, I was wondering if you had any thoughts about publishing any of those, that whole big stack of memories you had.
Oh, I did. I have some books in my car. Sesha told me, he said, when you were here, he said, did you, you know, sell any books? I said, I didn't sell any books, you know. I said, I don't, you know, wasn't thinking about that. He said, well, you should sell some, you know. He said, oh, tell them you have your book. So, yeah, I have a book. What is the difficulty? The very first words Prabhupada said to me. And I have some available. Some available, if anyone wants any. I'm leaving shortly after class this morning, headed back to North Carolina. And I just want to thank everyone for your kindness you've shown to myself and my wife while we were here. And I hope to come back again and get your good association here in the wonderful Raman Reti, new Raman Reti. It's just like Raman Reti, this place, you know, everything, the weather, just like it, everything. This is wonderful. We feel at home here with Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyama Sundar. It's just like, it's great relief. Because you know, when you're there and you spend a lot of time in Vrindavan and Govardhan, they just take you. You know, Krishna Balaram, they just grab you in Vrindavan. You don't want to be anywhere else because they're just so, these beautiful boys. So when you leave, it's nice to be able to come and see them manifest here. Very, very special, beautiful deities. Both Krishna and Balaram are just breathtaking. Literally, huh? They take your breath away. Very beautiful. So you have so much mercy here. Yes. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
We have all these wonderful children here in New Ramaniti. That's one of the greatest wealths here. And any sweet parting word, guiding words for them in their Krishna consciousness? Or...
you know, I was reading in the letters from Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying how the children like, you know, children are active. They like to be active and they like to play. And he said that they should be, they should enact Krishna's pastimes in this way. This is how they can play, have lots of fun, and also learn all about Krishna. He said, but that same mood, he said they'll be very happy doing that, you know, enjoying in that way. And this is how they can learn more about Krishna, understand Krishna, and how wonderful he is. This was Prabhupada's mood. When Prabhupada was in the garden, reading Krishna book to him, when I was with Srila Prabhupada, many times I felt like Prabhupada was like a very young boy, you know. You say Prabhupada was childlike, you know, not childish, but he was very childlike in many ways. There was just this very sweet innocence that he had, and it was just wonderful to be around. And everything else, you know, all his management was done, and training and discussion with temple leaders and so things. He was a simple, wonderful devotee, you know, that just loved hearing about Krishna. And he would talk with you all day. If you would talk about Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, philosophy, you could speak with him for hours and hours. You never became tired of hearing these things. So the children have a very wonderful opportunity. But it's to be the enjoyment. It's a pleasure to do these things. So I think that's a nice thing to do. Prabhupada himself did it. We know back in Dallas Gurukula, Prabhupada, he played leapfrog with the children, you know. So he was jumping over the child and then having the, you know, little boy jump over him. So this is, you know, we never want to lose that ability to play. This is what Krishna is doing, he's playing. So, you know, even we grow up, we have to have that nice, simple, childlike mentality. It's very sweet. So you can keep that with the children. Okay, I think we should stop here. Again, I'd like to thank everyone and the children. I'm especially happy that I got to be here today, with the children here today, and I hope they had a nice time as well. And we'll see you all again soon. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much.